our next guest is the Senate Minority Leader. He joins us every other Thursday. It's Len Fasano. Hey, Len, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Well, all things considered, not too bad. How about yourself?
Same here.
Looking, I can imagine. Are you looking at a date right now for, depending on who I ask and what day it is, you know, one person on one day will say, no, there's not going to be a special session. And somebody else will say, yeah, it's going to be the end of June. And then even another person will say it'll be sometime in the end of July or something. And so, any idea of what it is or when it is?
My guess it's going to be sometime after, let's say, July 10th or 11th. Probably to the end of July. There is a primary for some of the folks in the building, mostly on the Democratic side, I believe. So there, and that is, August 11th. So we think they're going to want about 2 weeks to do whatever they have to do to prepare for the primary, push whatever they got to push to make sure that they win. So I would assume that leadership will give them those 2 weeks. So that's why I'm thinking, it's not going to happen before July 4th, and then you're going to give some time after July 4th. So my guess is the 10th through 30th. But here's my point, Gary, is if we or the governor or the Democratic leaders can call session and get, I don't know, what, 300 people plus
right
into that building.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to be protesters and advocates and so forth, which I don't know how many that's going to be. And we can put them all in that building. Why are we not opening up businesses?
Well,
we're not going to be there one day. We're going to be there maybe not succession of days, but certainly a serious number of days. I would think at least three, if not five. Why is it that we can determine arbitrarily it's okay for us to go in, but it's not okay for people to make a living out in this state?
You know, that's a great question.
Barbers in a barber shop.
Yeah.
We can't have so many people in a nail salon that's not even open yet, but we could stick 600 people in an old building that has zero ventilation. As you know, there's no air conditioning in the main hall.
Oh my goodness,
there are individual rooms.
Yeah.
There are not in the main hall, so there's zero ventilation. And we're going to stick 600 people in there that are going to react, converse, share space all over that building. But we can't let three people cut hair in a barbershop.
Or a restaurant reopen.
That's insulting to the people in the state of Connecticut.
Well, because our governor's
losing their businesses. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No. I've been cutting you off. Please continue.
No, I think that's insulting to the people of Connecticut. You're telling restaurants you can't open until June 20th. The next time the state is going to make another movement on businesses is July 20th. We are down another 23 in the hospitalizations. The hospitalizations have consistently gone down. The infection rate, except for yesterday when it was a little bit over 3, has been under 3 for 10 days. The World Health, and that's not random. That's people who feel they're sick and go get tested. So the infection rate is 3 or under, which the World Health Organization says on a random scale, and if we did a random, I suggest it would be much lower. If we did a random scale, 3 and under is considered very, very good, like non-pandemic and do whatever. And I'm not saying open the floodgates and stop everything. I'm saying, but at least let businesses come back. At least stop scaring the public.
Yeah.
Let them be adults. Let them do their social distancing, wear their masks when they're in buildings. But let businesses operate. Let people get back to work. Get the economy going. But don't tell me it's not safe to put people in a restaurant, three quarters full, we'll say, but it's okay for 600 people to descend upon a building that has zero ventilation. You look at all of the rules for indoor. They're forcing businesses to allow people to be indoor, to increase their ventilation, at whatever cost that is, increase their ventilation. But in the state, He's, the fact that we have zero ventilation, that's okay.
These mom-and-pop restaurants cannot endure that kind of cost, especially at a time when they haven't been open regularly for several months. But, you know, this is a governor, senator, who's been choosing winners and losers all along anyways, you know. That's how he's been.
And a lot of this stuff is, frankly, very, very arbitrary.
Hey, well, exactly.
You know, I'm talking to some restaurant people. Some people may know, you know, I own a facility, and we're going to be open on the, although we can open the 17th, I'm not open till the 20th, and it has a little restaurant part to it, and we started ordering food yesterday, and we called the purveyors that we usually get the food from, and their folks that they're buying for went out of business, and they went out of business because a lot of the stuff that you get are folks who depended upon school systems across the country. They were all shut down, so they didn't have somebody to supply to it, and this is this food supply chain, if you would, and they're all shut down. So they have to find other people to buy certain products, so our product is limited. So it's very, and I never thought about that till actually, you know, we had to start to order food, on how the supply chain and the businesses across this country have been so adversely affected by this. So the faster we sort of get back to normal with our practicing safeguards, the better. But, you know, when government tells businesses how to operate, it's, once again, insulting. They can't run DMV. We all know they haven't run DOL, Department of Labor, for those of you who still haven't received your unemployment checks, or sole proprietors who are still haven't received anything. They're too busy telling us how to run our business, not spending enough time doing what they should do and what their obligation is to the people of the state of Connecticut.
When you say, you know, there might be a few days of special session, what specifically is going to be discussed, debated, and voted on?
I have no idea, Gary.
Oh, geez, is that right? Well, if you don't know, and you're the Senate Minority Leader.
I want people to understand, no mistake, I've heard comments by the governor, I've heard comments by Democratic leaders, I've heard comments by Democrats of, we're talking to leaders. Well, they never say which leader. I have yet to been having a conversation with anybody in a substantive manner on any issue they want to bring, that I read about, that they want to bring up on session. Not one. I reached out to Senator Looney. I reached out to Senator Winfield. I sent a letter to a Black and Latino caucus. I'm sending one out today, but I've worked with them before. And I'm saying, let's have you want to have some conversations? Let's talk about it. They don't want to have conversations, Gary.
Well, no, it doesn't sound like it. All right, so a couple of days ago, I had a source tell me that the state of Massachusetts was lifting the ban on masks altogether, indoor, outdoor, that you don't need to be wearing masks. I don't know what date that is, mind you. I'm not saying it goes into effect immediately, but that there was a date yet to come, perhaps, but scheduled, where you no longer need to wear masks. I'm thinking to myself, I mean, my goodness, they're only our neighbor to the north, and we can get there, you know, in less than an hour, depending on where you are in the state. I suppose maybe a couple of hours if you're in the southern part of the state. But my point is that it's close. It's our neighboring state to the north. Number one, is this true? And number two, why are they so much more advanced than we are?
So I have not yet heard that, but let me tell you what I have heard. I was talking to an epidemiologist out of Yale, and he was indicating to me that masks outside, and please, I don't want anybody to take my medical advice. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Well, you were talking to an epidemiologist.
Heard, talking to the person 101. If you're just walking by somebody, a mask outside is not going to benefit at all.
Right.
If you're outside with the wind and the sunlight, masks outside. I mean, if you're in a tight group, you know, that's a different issue, right? But if you're outside at a state park, at a state beach, walking around the streets of some town, no. He does suggest masks inside is something that he believes to be a reasonable thing to do. That was what he told me. He said outside, maybe not so much. He's not a big fan. Now, we're not talking about, you know, having, you know, 50 people all gathered in one small area, but, you know, just generally speaking, normal day, wearing masks outside, not necessary. But he said, inside, Len, I would wear a mask.
Well, you know, we're hearing...
And this guy's a go ahead.
All of these rules and regulations when it comes to congregating outdoors at festivals. I mean, a lot of fairs for the fall or later on this summer have been canceled. Firework displays have been canceled. But yet we can congregate to protest, right? That's okay.
Yeah, and I get that. And that is a problem. And it leads to this issue. There's something called viral load, which is that, you know, you and I talking to each other, let's say I was infected, we weren't wearing masks or whatever, and we were extraordinarily, you know, in proximity of each other. I guess the viral load that I would give would be a low that if you got it, you may be asymptomatic or very mild. But if you're yelling, screaming at a concert, at a sporting event, maybe protesting, and I'm infected, the viral load would be very high. They did this study in Germany on this when it broke out. Why did some people get more sick than others? And they traced it back to some event on the where there was a band, and folks who were in the audience got very sick because there was screaming, yelling, as you do at a concert, I guess, and sing, and the viral load was great. And then, you know, so those are the studies. There's a choir in the United States that had the same type of issues. So that's the reason why, you know, large group gatherings and maybe bar scenes, if you would, things of that nature, is a little bit precarious even now. And I can understand the reasonableness for that attitude. But outside walking around is not that type of exposure.
I guess I just don't like the narrative that's coming out of the Capitol, particularly the governor's office, where you can't have high school graduations, or you can outdoors, but they're strict. You've got to stay in your car in a parking lot or a field. There's no walking across, a dais or a platform. So there's strict regulations there, but you can go out and protest. And, and when you're doing that, you're certainly closer than 6 feet. You know, you're sometimes shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it's picking winners and losers, and it leaves everybody baffled. So you can't do this, but you can do this, which is, I think, even more risky. I can't wrap my head around it, Len.
No, there is a hypocrisy there.
Yeah.
I agree that, you know, the rules are the rules. They broke the rules, but no one's enforcing it. That's the bottom line.
Well, then why even have
the vote, right? So it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. You're putting other people at risk.
We're hearing about defunding police departments, and Hartford has already come out with their budget. They voted on it last night, even. I reported on it earlier this morning on this show, where they've already cut $2 million from their budget at a time when I would think, oh, we probably need more policing. Granted, smarter policing and maybe better training, especially using your brain more than your muscle. But nonetheless, I think people would feel more protected and more secure with more policing. And in a city with a humongous crime rate, you would think that there'd be more strict policing. But we're seeing just hearing just the opposite, with a decrease of $2 million from their budget. And by the way, there's an itinerary. They've only accounted for $1 million of that $2 million cut at approximately 4% of their budget. And sadly, it cuts from training, of all things. And that's one of the higher, that's one of the greater cuts that's taken the hit. What is your opinion on all of this, where defunding police departments and that, if you don't mind?
Sure. I don't believe in defunding police departments. I believe that we need to perhaps, as you suggest, change the training. And I don't know enough about police procedures and those things, although there are two officers in my caucus who have years of experience, and we were talking about this yesterday a little bit.
Right.
But I don't believe that defunding is the way to go. Making a place less safe is not the idea. If there are issues, and there are some issues, and we have to change the training. I mean, people have to get certified and have their ability to shoot a gun tested every year. We do training in racial issues once and never again. So maybe that's a course that, or training that should go once a year, like when you have to train for your gun. So as I said, I don't know enough about it. I'm just starting to dig into it now. Mm-hmm. But I don't think defunding and less police protection is something that we should look at. I think that, you know, our police officers, by vast majority, are good people who do a good job. And like every profession and occupation, you're going to have bad actors. That's just the way, unfortunately, life is, but it's in every profession. And we can do better with the training, and we could do better with different methodologies that people can come up with who are a lot smarter on the subject matter than I am. And I think we have to do that. But the funding, I don't think, and particularly the funding in the training line item, seems to go against the whole procedure. So, no, I am not a fan of that. Mm. I could not support that.
I can't imagine, especially at a time when there's activity, a lot of civil unrest, is putting it mildly, when you are spray painting statues, chopping off heads of statues. You want to get rid of these statues, and you may have a very valid reason. I'm sure there are, you know, a protocol in place to do that, you know, going through town council and so on and so forth. But even blocking highways, I can't imagine this is the way to get things done.
Right. I mean, it's certainly a way to grab the attention and grab the headlines so that people listen. And I think that's the MO of this when you block a highway. And thankfully, as far as I know, we haven't had any protesting.
Rioting.
We've seen in New York and other places. And, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a good thing. And you know what? We've worked hard at the Capitol with getting body cameras, the police bill we did last year that did actually talk about reporting instances of chokeholds so that we have a record of it. We started that accountability. So there are things that we've done over the last several years that I think have shown that we have an interest in this. And as the issues come along, bipartisanly, we solve them. And this is no difference. We can get together, talk about it, and come up with reasonable solutions.
Yeah.